Would you like to have a look and see what it is, what the new thing is? Pull them out. Let's have a look. And another one, unless somebody's going to hop. There we go. Oh, it's got one leg. Yep. A pair of boots for the journey, which you have to think is a bit foolish, actually. Why would you need boots in your bag? You need them on your feet. If you're going to do a journey, you need them on your feet. What did you say? Your spare pair, or you've got them with you because you're going to give them away. So here we have these symbols of Jesus on the long journey to Jerusalem. Jesus, the light of the world, all time belongs to God. We all need things to help us to keep on going, and even we need to have resource to give away. We're going to sing, and we're going to sing as the Bible comes in, and we're going to sing, "Come all you people, come and praise your neighbour, your maker, sorry, come now and worship the Lord." And Sol, he will play the tune. Have a seat. So you've read the story in the scriptures. Let's hear the story again.
This is the slightly abridged version for those of you who didn't actually manage to read quite all of it. And we hoped there would be some children. As there are no children, you're not going to have to make all the faces for the expressions of the emotions in the story. I won't make you do that. But once upon a time, there were two brothers. One worked hard on the family farm, stayed at home. The other was lazy, squandered money, spent most of his time at parties. One day, the younger brother asked his father for the money that he would get when he had his inheritance. And perhaps unwisely, the father gave him all his money, so he pocketed it and went off to the nearest town, moved around and partied and squandered the money. And eventually, of course, the money ran out. All the friends he'd had who thought he was really a soft touch, they all disappeared, and he was left with nothing. And he ended up on another farm feeding the pigs and having to eat what they ate. And eventually this really got too much, and he thought, "I think I'm going to go home." surely my father will welcome me back, but maybe, I don't know. But he decided to risk it. And he walked home. It was a long way. He was tired and he was hungry. But as soon as he got within sight of his house, his father, who'd been looking for him every day, came running out to meet him. He was so thrilled to see his son back, he ordered a huge party and everybody celebrated. But the older brother wasn't happy. "I've been here working hard all this time. I've never done anything to upset you, but you still love him more than you love me." And his father said, "No, I love you both. You have been here and you're very dear to me. But your brother was lost. We didn't know what had happened to him. It was almost as if he was dead. But now he's back. We really must celebrate and have a party. And as a small celebration, we have some grapes, which they might have eaten at the party, and a few more teasers, which they probably wouldn't, but we'd like to share them with you."
Everybody got a grape or a Malteser? So now let us turn to God with our prayers of thanks. Let us pray. Come, Lord, work upon us, set us on fire and clasp us close. Be fragrant to us and draw us to your loveliness. Let us be loved. Let us know of your love for us. On this day, many of us would say thank you for our mothers. All of us would say thank you for those who gave us birth, for the person that nurtured us in our infancy and taught us in our childhood. We thank you for that person and those people who gave us a base from which to explore the world. We thank you for those people who showed us something of your love. We thank you, God, for all those people that love us. And we thank you for those people who have loved us through the years. Thinking about the story that we've heard, we think about those, we thank you for those people who love us even when we don't deserve it. And we thank you for those that stick with us when we are at our most destructive and grumpy and unhelpful. Forgive us for those times when we do not return the love that others show us. When we are narrow in our ways and mean in our responses. And may we be confident of your love, and may it flow through us. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into the time of trial, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The next song that we're going to sing is a song with a strong Hebrew Jewish root, so we're going to sing Jubilate Everybody. Some people would say, if we lost the Bible completely and we just had the 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel, we would have all that we needed to really get our heads around the mission and the ministry of Jesus. Yeah, that's another bit of homework. You can think about that. However, some people, maybe because of what's happened to them in their family relationships, find that story of, well, whatever words I use will, that story of the lost son very difficult indeed, and it raises a number of questions. Now, having said that, some of you are looking at me and thinking to yourself, really? I need to have another look at the text. So you've got the reference for the text. You can get it. Your Bibles are underneath the chair in front of you. You can pull it up and have another look. What I'm going to do is I'm going to invite you to think about, reflect, what questions come to you from that text. And some other people have... Loads and loads of people have obviously done some work on this text, and some people have produced some questions that I'm going to share with you. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand the microphone round, and anybody can tell us what their question is. But these are some questions that might get you thinking. Could you hand those back, please? Hand them back, please. And you could have a conversation with somebody nearby you. Of course, it's not compulsory. Pat them round, thank you. Harriet, would you hand those round, please? Hand them round. Thank you. Hand them round, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Soup. This. Come on. Thank you. Everybody got a piece of paper if they want one? The Bibles are nearby. What questions come to you as you look at that text? Especially when you read questions like that that are sort of looking at the whole thing from a maybe slightly different angle. You could have a conversation with somebody nearby. You know, something very gentle and tender and kind. Obviously, I'm not behaving myself properly. You could have a conversation with somebody who's not the person that you walked in with. You could. Right. Always happens. Slow to start, slow to stop. Marvellous. I'm going to hand hand this mic this way. You're going to go back there. Then John is going to give it to Harriet. It's going to come forward. Then Christina's going to give it to Ian. It's going to go back. Yes? Questions that come to you from the text.
Did he do it again? The younger brother.
I can't add anything to that. Just one. Ooh, is it not working? Is it working? Yeah. I just wonder how the father felt in between whiles when the son turned up. Great. But did he feel like the other son? You know, did he think, oh, why did I do it? What's he done? What a son. I don't know. How did he feel in the interim period?
He thought he could go to the father.
Yeah. Is that a question? Did the older brother change his mind?
No, it's not a question. Hand it on and I'll tell you
what it's supposed to be.
What did we say, Anne?
Okay. Well, what, if any, were the tensions between the parents after the banqueting and etc. You know, did they both agree around what had happened, or were they at loggerheads? You want to?
And what we thought that when the older brother came back, did he have like family and they see whether he passed on those skills to his own family? Sorry.
The question I'd like to ask is, what did Mum think?
I think my question would be, what happened next?
I can't help wondering what happened when the father died and there was a real inheritance to share out. Hopefully the brothers had worked hard together and they'd built up the farm and it wasn't an issue.
I think there are two questions that arise. Was the younger son a really nice guy that his dad really loved? Or was there something else going on? Second point is, presumably, or there may have been some sisters, but they don't even come into the equation.
I tend to go for a conclusion to this and what happened afterwards. In other words, did he get forgiveness? Did they go back to what they should have been doing and help each other out and dealt with the future rather than the past?
It's happening all the time in my family. I'm quite used to all of this.
Was the father right in handing out the money in the first place?
Silly.
And did the older son, all those years, have his father saying, well, I wish your son would come back, I wish my younger son would come back, I wish my younger son would come back. And when he appeared, the first reaction of him is, oh, my poor father, he's going to go through all this again, all these times, thinking he would be exactly the same. Later he did come around to it, didn't he?
Did the father expect too much of their eldest son?
Well, I'm sorry, this isn't a question, but just looking at the beginning of Luke, it's all in the context of the shepherd going after the lost sheep, isn't it? So I think that this story demonstrates that, really. It's about the love of God and how he cares about everyone, regardless of where they are and what they're doing.
I think it's rather like the story of the labourers in the vineyard.
where the people who only work for an hour get paid the same as the rest. It's a warning that the generosity of God is offensive.
Let me amplify that. That is, the generosity of God is offensive. Woo! Spot the preacher in the room. You got any questions? Loads, but have you got any questions you can add here?
Did the other brother go out and join him?
Oh, did he join in? Yeah. John, you pass it along.
I wonder if the elder brother eventually went off. I thought, I'll try it too.
I wondered whether he looked on the servants any differently, because he had seen himself as even having less than the servants had when he was in dire need, and he was coming back thinking he would be part of that, and instead he was actually elevated to the high position again of being a brother and part of the rich farm. Well, I don't know if it was rich, but of the farmer. So that was something I've always thought about.
Thank you. Did the older brother change his mind? I don't know. About what? Did he change his view of his father? Did he accept his father's statement about his brother? Did he change his view about his younger brother? I don't know. It's not made clear in the text. I always related best the older brother, etc. Well, you would, wouldn't you, when your son left home? Why is the dad such a soft touch? Well, because he's a dad. Dads usually are soft touches. At least I always have been to my sons, anyway. And the last one, where was the mum? Clearly, this is all part of the way things were at the time. Obviously, women didn't count, because there's not a single mention of a mother in the equation. And one wonders whether she was there, whether she died. Clearly, if she had an opinion, it wasn't expressed, and one wonders what she really felt about her younger son leaving home. But I think it's quite clear that what was felt about ladies at that time of... Thank you.
So the woman was out looking for the lost coin, that's the...
Did the brothers resolve the differences, and how?
Sorry, say that again, please, Ray.
How did the brothers resolve their differences, and if so, how?
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Did this passage lead us to learning how to forgive?
I think this is an example to show the role of a parent. As a parent, you create the child, and the child grows up and goes off, and you have to learn to let go. And that was the problem that God had in the creation story. He made them all, and then they went off and did their own thing. When he got cross about it, he flooded the earth. But then he regretted doing that, and he sent Jesus, another human being, to try and be human, and they rejected that. And now we are left with the only job in the world. We create children to let them go. And as one of ours reminded us, it's your job to pick up the bits.
kind of attached to that, the younger son's clearly portrayed as making wrong decisions and being bad. But I question that. Did he just make his own choices and find his own way?
Looking at the father and thinking, was he a soft touch? Well, maybe it was a sort of challenge. Maybe he knew exactly what he was doing, letting the son take some money early and see a challenge, see just what he could do with it, and then see what happened afterwards.
To me, I found out that they didn't tell the age, because when the younger brother took the money, was he a teenager? We don't know that. So we know very well that we are looking at the lost sheep, and it's a continuity here. So the son went off, but when he came back, the mom was torn in between two sons. She loves them both, but she thought the younger son was dead, but he's now alive. Now, what did she think? Is he going to reform? Are both sons going to be together when they die? Thank
My question would be, why did Jesus tell this story in the first place? And it seems to me that this parable is like many of the parables he told, and that was that when you first read them, you think, well, that's not right, that can't be right. I think this parable shows that we're free agents, we're not puppets, and that we can go back to God, whatever happens to us, whether we stray a little or stray a long way, we can go back. And I suppose that reflects on being a human parent, as Tony was saying. You're there to pick up the pieces if things go wrong for your offspring, and that's probably one of the most important things you are there to do when your children are grown up.
I must say that I agree with them. So I was thinking of that myself. We really can't tell our children what to do. Just wait and see what happens. And then I suppose we accept it like God accepts us.
I think that the father went possibly over the top on the welcome, but the son did say before he came back that he realised he'd sinned against God and his father, and possibly he also said that he wanted to be treated as one of the workers. And possibly if the father hadn't have gone over the top, the other son might not be quite so upset. And I would suggest that Mum was in the kitchen preparing the meal, celebration meal.
Yeah, that's the generosity of God being offensive again.
Yeah. It makes me think about suffering and how sometimes God might use that to bring us to our senses. And I just wonder whether if the younger son had continued to prosper and not been on the point of starvation, whether he would still have gone back to the father.
Interesting. We thought about the different types of parenting. Like, if when the father was going to give the boy the money, I could relate this in real life. If my mom gave me money and then I'd had to budget it and not spend it in one go like Trudy.
See, she took with one eye, she smacked it down with the other.
I thought, like, instead of the younger son, like, what if it was a girl? Would the dad still have been so forgiving of?
Oh, another girl in the room. It was, if it had been a girl who'd gone off with the money,
would the dad have been as forgiving? All these invisible women. She wouldn't have got the cash in the first place, is the answer to that one. Thank you for your wisdom. Great. We're going to sing. Oh God, you search me and you know me. We have a range of things to pray about, so I apologise for the fact that I will be giving you information as well as leading us in prayer as we pray, because there's too many to read out. So let us pray. We have been asked to pray for Sandra, who is a friend of the church, who is unemployed, has been for months, and has a job interview this week. To pray for Yvonne Jessie and hope that she is very happy in her little garden in the sky. To pray for Max Melman. He's the husband of Jackie Melman, who helps the coffee bar once a month, has done for several years now. And Max is going into hospital for an operation on Wednesday, after a long period of pain and problems, which he has coped with very stoically. Let's pray for somebody in our wider church community who has discovered that a family member is self-harming. Let's pray for somebody in our wider community for whom the pressure of just keeping going is meaning that he is thinking about ending his life. We're asked to pray for the family and friends of a young man who has fallen and since that time has been unresponsive. Pray for those in our community who are parents, become parents recently, thinking of Hilary Sutton and her partner Simon, the birth of Elliot, and Lindsay and Kyle and the whole Carnegie family on the birth of Annabelle. So we pray for those who are new to being a mother and a father. And thinking about the story of the lost son, we pray and hold up before God those invisible mothers. Those who have never bonded with their children. Those who have left the family home because of domestic abuse or physical or psychological violence. Those mothers who are not physically present, but always mourn the loss of their child. Among them, those who have given up a child for adoption. And those who are invisible mothers because they are not mothers and they wish they could be. And we hold up before God all those who feel that they have done something that is so terrible that they are outside of God's love. And within the context, O God, of your all-consuming love, we hold up before you those for whom we feel moved to pray. Lord, give us the confidence to know that you hear our prayers. Give us the strength to be the answering of some of them. For others, we place them in your hands. And for others, we wait. And we do it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering. So let us pray. God of abundance and generosity, who welcomes each one of us home, receive the gifts of money that we bring, receive the lives that we offer, that all may be used to speak of your light and your love. Amen. We join to sing Love Divine or Love's Excelling.
morning wave to you. Deep peace of the flowing air to you. Deep peace of the quiet earth to you. Deep peace of the shining stars to you. The Son of Peace to you. Moon and stars pour their healing light on you. La 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 la.
Come on.